The WTNS Communication Lines gives you 2 hours of local news, weather, sports, and information. WTNS Radio gives you everything you need to know. We are live, and we are local. And it all starts with WTNS News.
What's now 3 could become 2. I'm Jeremy Scott. After years of talk of elementary consolidation, or as the Board of Education is terming it, reconfiguration, Riverview is beginning to put pencil to paper on the matter. The board held a work session earlier this week to discuss that very topic. Presentations were given by Curriculum Coordinator Christy Ireland about what the numbers of the 3 elementary schools currently look like, as well as by Transportation Director Joel Moore. Superintendent Chuck Rinka says he understands why the word consolidation or reconfiguration could have negative connotations for some.
Having a neighborhood school is emotional. Having a neighborhood school right up the road or right down the road or close to you is an emotional thing.
A 40-person reconfiguration committee made up of school personnel, parents, and community members will begin meeting December 4th. It'll hold 3 work sessions and then host a pair of community forums on February 15th and 17th at times and locations still to be determined, all before it goes before the full board for a vote. From the Coshocton County Sheriff's Office, the report from yesterday reads like this. One accident, Marcella Lockhart of Coshocton was traveling northeast on Orange Street when she struck a vehicle being driven by Catherine Newman Schultz, also of Coshocton, which was traveling northeast on Cambridge Road. Complaints, Malachi Hinojosa Raber of Coshocton reported theft from a motor vehicle in the 800 block of South Lawn Avenue. Deborah Beamer of Coshocton reported a theft in the 2400 block of South 7th Street. A male passed away at his residence in the 33,000 block of Township Road 373, and Heather Ionello of Coshocton made a report of disorderly conduct in the 100 block of South 2nd Street. One other complaint, a Coshocton woman made a report of vandalism in the 300 block of South 8th Street. So that was from Wednesday going into yesterday, from yesterday going into today. Accidents, Bailey Maple of Lafayette Township was traveling northbound on Linton Township Road 159 when she lost control of her vehicle and went off the right side of the roadway, striking a fence. Kyle Tharp of Clarksville, Tennessee was traveling eastbound on U.S. 36 in Tuscarawas Township when he struck a vehicle operated by Charles Eric of Coshocton, also traveling eastbound. Complaints, a Coshocton male reported domestic violence in the 20,000 block of County Road 1. A cow was reported unsecured in the 21,000 block of County Road 367, and Daniel Ops of Coshocton reported a threat in the 500 block of Clow Lane. The European Union is planning to stop air travel from southern Africa to counter the spread of a new COVID variant as the 27-nation bloc is battling a massive spike in cases. German Health Minister Jens Spahn says, quote, the last thing we need is to bring in a new variant that will cause even more problems, end quote. A new coronavirus variant has been detected in South Africa. Scientists say is a concern because of its high number of mutations and rapid spread among young people in Gauteng, the country's most populous province. Advisors to the World Health Organization are holding a special session to flesh out information about that worrying new variant of the virus that's emerged, though its impact on COVID vaccines may not be known for weeks. The Technical Advisory Group on the Evolution of COVID was meeting virtually to discuss the so-called B11529 variant that has caused stock markets to swoon. The group could decide if it's a variant of concern, that's the most worrying type, like the well-known Delta variant, or if it's a variant of interest, and it also has to decide whether or not it wants to use a Greek letter to classify it. Cincinnati-based Procter & Gamble is recalling some popular products. Your deodorant could have a dangerous chemical in it. The FDA says there was benzene found in some varieties of Old Spice and Secret brand spray deodorants. Benzene can cause cancer if it's used in large quantities. The deodorants include the Old Spice Hardest Working Collection and the Secret Fresh Collection. A retailer with stores all across Ohio is raising prices. Dollar Tree might more accurately call itself $1.25 Tree. The bargain chain store is raising its prices for the first time in 3 decades. Starting next year, items will be $1.25. The company says the increase will help with freight and distribution costs as well as with wage increases. Pharmacies have lost in a groundbreaking trial in Ohio over the toll of opioids, but there's no assurance the results will hold up on appeal. Tuesday's verdict was the first in a wave of opioid lawsuits involving pharmacies and companies that will be decided by a jury. CVS, Walgreens, and Walmart said they will appeal the pharmacy case filed by two counties in Ohio centered on claims the companies created public nuisances. The pharmacies say public nuisance laws don't apply and find reason for optimism in two recent decisions that favor the opioid industry in California and in Oklahoma. I'm Jeremy Scott, WTNS News.
ready for that Christmas music? Hope you are. Hope you all had a splendid Thanksgiving Day yesterday. I know I did, and hope you did as well. And a little too much turkey and pie, but don't we all? Well, it is time for the Communication Lines program on this Black Friday. And we might have some open phone lines towards the end of our program today. But traditionally, the first day after Thanksgiving, the day after Thanksgiving, that is when we kick off the Salvation Army Christmas Castle Project. We've already had some people that have checked in with us and have had some questions, and it's something that I am always amazed and impressed about, just how generous our local folks are each and every year to help bundle up kids here in Coshocton County. We do have here in the studio with us Major Tom Clark from the Salvation Army and Major Victoria Clark on the phone with us. And good morning, Majors. Thank you both for being with us today.
Good morning, Mike.
Good morning. Good morning.
Well, we're going to go over the numbers and the goals here in just a moment, but Major Tom, if we could, I'd like to just go over the Christmas Castle. Again, it's an institution. Most folks are familiar with it, but can you give us the elevator speech about just how the Christmas Castle works?
The Christmas Castle is a wonderful program that allows us to provide warm clothing to children in the community. It is a program that allows us to meet individual needs literally in real time on the spot, because the participants get to actually go and receive them rather than it anonymously being purchased and given to them in some kind of a package of some way. It's something they can pick, choose, have the selection and the choice, and meet the needs of the family.
Is the Christmas Castle something that is unique to Coshocton, or are there Salvation Army Christmas Castle projects in other parts of the country or the world?
There are other Christmas Castle projects, and they have a variety of ways of working. Some are clothing exclusive, some are toy exclusive, some are still where people just shop and bring a toys in or items in, and then Salvation Army units process them and get them, have to choose for the family and give to them based on ages and genders and that kind of thing. But our program is great because of the personal choice that the families get.
And so there are other Christmas Castle projects, certainly, that could be toys or other things as well. And also, not necessarily a radio station that is the mouthpiece or the voice of the program.
Exactly. And that's one of the unique things we have, is the partnership with WTNS and the and your listeners and our community, who feel a real kind of partnership and ownership of this program, and allows us to continue it each year.
And the need is there, unfortunately, every single year, as well as we're about to, that Major Victoria will illustrate with the numbers, but the need is very real. It is out there, and we have had a few nippy mornings to drive the point home.
That is certainly true. And you think, you know, as times change, that there could be a change in needs and requests. But people's lives change. Different factors come in. And so we continue to have people request services from us all throughout the year. But at this time of year, specifically want to make sure their children have warm clothes and a decent Christmas.
With the COVID and the fluctuations in the economy and just all the things that our society has been dealing with over the last couple of years, how has that impacted the number of people that or the issues that people reach out with to the Salvation Army?
COVID has had a real serious impact on our community, and it has come in different waves. One wave was food insecurity, where a lot of people were needing food and we were having a lot of requests for that. And then came people who had adjustments to their life, either having COVID and having to quarantine, or having someone in their classroom, and changes in their household required made a difference in their household income, as well as the flow of how their expenses work in their household. And so we continue to just get requests for food. For there have been just a number of financial things, including utilities, rent. Some people even fell behind on car payments and car insurance and things like that, that they just needed a helping hand through this last 2 years to try to help them keep together their life circumstances.
Now, in a little bit, we'll talk about the bell ringers and the food pantries and toys and so many other things that the Salvation Army does. But the Christmas Castle, COVID last year, you had to modify some things because of COVID. How many of those modifications Have you kept what will be the procedure this year as far as distribution and shopping for the kids?
Well, we had to change a lot last year just because of volume of people in the store at a time and not jeopardizing our volunteers. Many of them were seniors that had volunteered in the past. And so we had to spread out the castle from 3 days to four and have less people come per half hour. And that was one adjustment. We're going to keep that because that actually gave us a lot more manageability of flow of traffic, as well as the ability to serve the individuals. And one incredible factor we found that we actually are going to continue to incorporate is a lot of parents shopped for their kids. We did not have a large volume of volunteers, and the parents felt that was a really helpful thing because their young people, first of all, they got to see their kids select their own items, learn about that budgeting thing, like, oh, I only have this much to spend. Do I want to get two larger, more expensive items or a whole lot of cheaper items? And the parents just, the feedback we got on the spot and then afterwards was they really liked seeing their children do that versus having them be like waiting in an area outside the checkout and then as we have in the past, then see what the children decided to choose. So that was a really a beneficial modification that we're going to keep because it allowed the sizes to be correct, all of those things that a parent knows about their children, and we're going to keep that factor in this year of the parents helping shop with the kids.
And this needs to be said just for the sake of accountability for those that are donating, and by no means has this been a huge problem in the past, but you do have a system for accountability that once those coats and those winter the winter gear is purchased, that it can't be brought back for cash or other things.
Yeah, we do work with Walmart and whoever is assigned to check out at that time, cutting tags off, Xing out any of the scan or barcodes or anything to make sure that the items are purchased are a final purchase and cannot be returned.
All right, and Major Victoria, I'd like to bring you in here and talk about some specific numbers. First of all, thank you for being with us as well.
Oh, it's great to be here again, Mike. Thank you for inviting us.
What is the monetary goal for the Christmas Castle in 2021, and how many kids/families does that represent?
So our goal this year has had an increase from last year to $50,000, and it's due to the influx of numbers, according to our children, that are coming in through the Christmas Castle this year. And last year we because of our the situation of our life and the pandemic, we incorporated our angels in the Christmas Castle last year, and our donors were very supportive and helpful in sponsoring money and pledged money towards our angels. And our angels go from newborn all the way up to kindergarten ages, and so we were able to incorporate them. Walmart worked with us and had a great partnership with that. Due to the pandemic, we weren't able to adopt our children or their names and their wish list out to organizations last year, and we're gonna adopt that same model this year, just because of our numbers, just because of where our situation is in our county, just to keep everyone safe and just keep that model similar to what we had last year. And we had a great outpouring support from the parents as well, due to the same thing that, you know, they were able to have the same sizes and the right gender gifts given to their children because the parents were able. And with the angel program, the parents really enjoyed that because they were able to come shopping without their children, and then they were able to wrap up those individual gifts and provide them under the tree for their children this past year. So we're really excited about that opportunity, and Waltonmart is partnering with us again this year and allowing that particular program to be a part of our Christmas Castle. So seeing all of that, Michael, you know, our age group for Castle is grades 1 through 12th grade, and even those seniors that graduated in 2020 will get a chance to go through the Castle again this last year for their opportunity to shop. And then our angel program, our newborns all the way up to kindergarten. So we're able to provide for all of the children that parents sign up for. So no matter what age group they can be a part of, the Christmas Castle this year. So our families for Christmas Castle, our numbers are 500 for our children. There's 510 children that have signed up to enter the Christmas Castle this year. We are also, with that number, we are actually going back to Walmart to try to put in another day so that we can modify the number of children coming in per time slot so that we're not overwhelming the staff and the employees at Walmart, as well as keep the traffic flow going very well. And then with our angels, we have 228 children participating in the angel program. So as you can see, that's a sizable amount of children coming into Walmart for any given time for 3-4 days this Christmas season. So and the fluctuation of our numbers are due to the economy, due to setbacks financially with our families. Working class families are really struggling trying to make those ends meet. So we're really excited that they have allowed the Salvation Army to come alongside them and provide that extra assistance during the holiday season.
All right. So the monetary goal, technically $49,650, but for the sake of clarity, a $50,000 goal this year. And Major Tom or Victoria, whoever would like to answer, what is the application process? How do you find these folks that are in need, or how do they find you? Tom?
Yeah, we had our applications had to actually be done. We started November 1st and went through the 19th. And last year and this year, we had an online application. People could go on our Facebook page. And we had over almost 300 families sign up that way. It's amazing, online. And then we had paper applications for those who don't have access to Internet or were not comfortable for that. The online app actually worked on a mobile phone too, and the average time it took for people to fill out was like 9.5 minutes. So it was really a simple process for those who did it online, not electronically. And then others could come in, pick up an application from us. We didn't do mass applications. We just did individuals, so people could take them, fill them out, bring them back. We could verify all the information as they brought it back. And then there was a I don't know, Vicki, how many were paper apps? A couple hundred?
Oh, a couple hundred, yeah. There was over 200.
That were paper apps.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's how people applied.
Yeah. Okay, and just an explanation. We've got one in the studio and one in the phone here. Now, Tom doesn't have any headphones here, but we're talking about the Christmas Castle Project. It is underway starting right now. You can give us a call at 740-622-1560, 1567, or 545-9284. And it has been so often the case. We do have some people that have already donated. I'm going to keep that in the back pocket here for just a moment.
Great.
But off to a pretty good start so far. Now, the goal this year, $50,000, a little bit, I don't remember what last year's was, but this seems to be a bit higher this year for a couple of reasons, right?
Yes. Last year, our goal was $48,000.
Okay.
And we did go a little bit over that, I believe, at the end. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, people were generous, and we believe the generosity level, we believe, will be similar to last year, and we are counting on our community to come forward, and we know they enjoy this process, and we know they enjoy knowing that they are helping some of the young people of our community.
The generosity is something that we don't take for granted, don't want to take it for granted, but it is something that we have learned that we can count on, the generosity of this community year after year, not only for the Christmas Castle Project, but other projects with the Salvation Army and other projects beyond what the Salvation Army does here in our community.
Absolutely, yeah. That's exactly it. And so as the needs change and vary throughout the year, our ability to respond has to change, and we have to have the capacity to be able to adapt and adjust and serve people.
Our guests are Majors Tom and Victoria Clark from the Salvation Army. The Christmas Castle Project is underway. You can give us a call starting right now at 740-622-1560, 1567, or 545-9284. And what we do on the fundraising phase is you give us a call, we take down your name, your business name, if you're a business, and how much that you would like to pledge, share with the Christmas Castle, and your phone number. And it is simple as that. You can drop off your donations at the Salvation Army or here at WTNS if you prefer. The phone lines are open starting right now for the Christmas Castle Project. We'll be back right after this.
Looking for something fun to do this Friday night? We'll stop by Cherokee Trading Post Auction Center, located in the former Spittler's Restaurant building. This Friday's auction will feature new toys and gifts, along with a wide variety of new and used items. Plus, they're having a birthday party for apprentice auctioneer Tim Welsh, so stop by and get a free piece of birthday cake. Doors open at 4 and auction begins at 6, and the kitchen food trailer will also be there, so come hungry.
My son is not some statistic.
My daughter's not a headline.
My girl, she's not someone's agenda.
What
she is.
Is irreplaceable.
COVID hospitalizations of young people have
tripled since the start of summer.
So I talked to my daughter's doctor about COVID vaccines.
And she said they're highly effective in preventing hospitalizations
and deaths, even from the Delta variant.
We can do this. Find vaccines near you at vaccines.gov. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Hi, Bob here from Plus One Pizza asking, when was the last time you had a really great pizza? Our new pizza is better than ever. Order one tonight online or call 622-9300. At Plus One Pizza, you'll love it, we guarantee it, or your money back. It's that good.
At Arndt Chiropractic, our goal is to help patients achieve health and balance for their whole body. We provide personalized care with superior quality whole food and herbal supplements, along with expert spinal and nervous system treatment. This is Dr. Gerald Arndt from Arndt Chiropractic. If you currently take over-the-counter supplements or medications, your body isn't getting all that it needs, and this greatly lowers your body's ability to repair, cleanse, and protect itself. This leads to chronic pain, weight gain, cardiovascular disease, digestive disorders, and many other internal problems. For complete health care well beyond just pain relief, call Arndt Chiropractic at 740-622-4659.
The telling someone you love them with McDonald's deal is as rare as it is special, since it's best shown by giving up the last bite, because a gesture like that is a true act of selflessness.
Get free large fries with the purchase of a dollar or more, only through mobile order and pay.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. McDonald's, I'm loving it.
Valid once a day through 12/31/21 at participating McDonald's. McDonald's app download and registration required.
This Eye on Weather forecast is brought to you by H&H Auto Body. It's your car, it's your choice. For 45 years, we have been providing the very best collision repairs in the area. H&H Auto Body, Otsego Avenue in Coshocton.
Mostly cloudy skies early today, then a chance of flurries. Cold, near steady temperatures in the lower 30s for tonight. Mostly cloudy in the evening, then becoming a partly cloudy. Lows in the lower 20s. For tomorrow, mostly sunny in the morning, then a mostly cloudy with a slight chance of rain showers in the afternoon. Cold, with highs in the upper 30s. Chance of rain is 20%. And currently in Coshocton, it's started already. I've got papers laying all over the place and different tabs up on the computer. So it keeps me on the toes, Christmas Castle Project. 32 degrees currently in Coshocton. And we are back once again with Majors Tom Clark and Victoria Clark from the Salvation Army. And I'd like to ask you, Major Tom, from your perspective at the Salvation Army, and Victoria, you can chime in at any moment as well, but you see firsthand the kids, the parents, the families that benefit, that are on the receiving end of the Christmas Castle. Can you describe that a bit?
Oh, yeah. Definitely one of our favorite parts of all the labor, work, effort, promotion, everything that goes into basically running the Salvation Army all year, and especially at the holidays. Nothing replaces being there as the children check out. Well, first of all, watching them shop, going through the store, and knowing they have a certain dollar amount, and then trying to figure out how many items they can get. That is an exciting process. But when they check out, and they know it's their turn and it's their purchase, or it's their items that they selected because it's the things that they really feel they need. It's irreplaceable experience to just watch the expressions on their face. And even with COVID, there are a few side hugs and fist bumps and things that go along with the way as they exit, because they're so happy to be able to receive a blessing and something that they really will enjoy.
We touched on this a little bit, that the parents will be taking their kids in most instances. But what about the people? I just heard from one earlier this week that have been volunteer shoppers in the past, and hearing similar stories to what you just shared about being a volunteer shopper. Will there be opportunities for those volunteers if they choose to do so,
shopping,
or otherwise?
There will be some volunteer opportunities. Vicki, if you want to chime in on that, please.
Vicki?
Yes, we are working on having a couple of those days designated just for the volunteers that want to come and help us out. As Tom had referred to earlier, when the checkout process is having volunteers stand at the checkout lines, as well as to make sure that the tags and everything is marked properly, we need volunteers there. We also need volunteers at the back of the store helping us help assign children to the volunteers. We're in need of those particular assignments, as well as if anybody, I spoke to two or three people last week as I was out and about that are looking forward to it this year. And again, we just want to make sure that we abide by the policies of Walmart, making sure that we stay within, you know, social distancing. They're still asking us to abide by that. They are, we want to make sure that all of our volunteers and staff members do stay safe and remain safe. So again, you know, if you're waking up in the morning and you feel like you have a little sniffle that day, then by all means, you know, call in and we'll reschedule your opportunity for you to volunteer. But we also want everybody to be smart and play safe this year, just so that we can make sure that all of our children and parents remain safe as well. So there'll be opportunities, definitely opportunities for our volunteers to be a part of that. And they can call the Salvation Army at 740-622-0971, and that would be extension 105. And so they will be monitoring that phone line right now. As we are on the phone, we've been monitoring that phone line for bell ringers, as well as those that want to participate in volunteer work with the Salvation Army during the Christmas season. So again, that number is 622-0971, extension 105.
And certainly the Christmas Castle is a community effort, but how much participation do you get from your own congregation?
Well, we get almost 100%. Our volunteers that are from our church are right there as well. And again, last year we had to do assignments for certain nights. Only volunteers could come out from our church because we were trying to play it safe. So normally, our volunteers from our church are there 100% in the back of the store, helping monitor the children through the store, as well as at the cashier and checkout process. And so it's been a wonderful opportunity for the whole ministry of the Salvation Army to embrace the Christmas Castle. And this has been many, many, many years that the members of the church have participated with the Christmas Castle ministry.
And Tom, to expand on that, and I ask you this every year, virtually everyone is familiar with the Salvation Army. They know the Salvation Army, you know that you're a charity organization, but also a church ministry with a congregation as well. Can you give us an overview, thumbnail version, if you will, about what the Salvation Army is and what the Salvation Army does?
It's an international organization. You know, around the world, the Salvation Army has expressions of generosity and giving and helping and serving. But our foundation was on the ability to help people in their spiritual needs as well as their physical needs. And our founder recognized that initially he was just trying to be an outreach evangelist and just try to reach out to the world and say, you know, God loves you, he has a plan for your life, and to try to gather people into the ability to pull their lives into a spiritual focus. But he found out that spiritual is not separate from the physical and the emotional. And so we have a holistic approach of reaching people. So our ministry and our local congregation is very similar to what other people as they participate in their churches with Sunday school classes and adult Bible studies, prayer groups, and things like that. And, of course, a morning gathering, 11 o'clock Sunday morning, like many churches do. And it gives us the ability to encourage one another, edify one another, build each other up, as well as support the work that we do in the community as well.
One thing that is perhaps a bit different with the Salvation Army is the military terminology, Salvation Army. You have titles that are, you know, major, that are associated with military, law enforcement, et cetera. How did that that factor into the equation from the beginning?
Well, it came about as really a practical outreach of the sort of the structure of organizing. And early on, we were called the Volunteer Army. That was our one of our first names, along with Christian Mission. And that in the early days in the 1800s, that was our name. But as things started to mobilize, and we needed to be, you know, we had very little resources, and in order to mobilize with people of that were very simple and were not really highly educated, we decided the command structure was probably the best way, a quasi-military structure, where members were soldiers in God's army, and clergy became a rank of a captain or a major, and that allowed us to kind of mobilize. And nowadays it's more titles and the ability to just identify who is participating and what their role is. But it's really very similar to any organization or group. You're going to have a president, a vice president, a treasurer, you know, anyone that belongs to any scouting programs or any organizational club. You're going to have that kind of structure in order to mobilize, keep things organized, and be able to accomplish what you want to accomplish.
Okay, but in the case of Salvation Army, those titles are expressed in, I don't know, military terms is the right word or not, but that's how you do it.
They are, and it's sort of become just sort of an affectionate term now, because you have at most armies have their captain or their major or their lieutenant, someone who's in charge, and then each soldier is a member that belongs. They find a lot of pride in being able to say, yeah, I'm committed to something, I am signed up for that. And in the biblical model, everyone that's a person of faith has been called a soldier of Jesus Christ. That's kind of comes from the scripture, and so there's that sense in which Jesus is our captain, and he is the real leader of everything that we do, and the body of Christ and the community overall. We are all partners in helping the community.
The Salvation Army coordinates certainly with a lot of other local entities as well. Your United Way agency. Can you share a little bit more about your interaction with those other agencies and ultimately with the community?
Yes, we're very blessed to have positive relationships with other food pantries, other organizations, human service groups, those that are structured and formal, as well as there are some informal groups of people that kind of get together and maybe do a bike drive or a clothing drive here for this particular event and things. And we were able to help with the Coshocton Regional Medical Center's emphasis on backpacks this year, and they coordinated it, but we provided a lot of the supplies. And we work with NAHOCO, we work with United Way, who is an invaluable partner to us because of their capacity to reach and raise funds through the business community that we don't have. And then as a partner agency, we can benefit from all of the things that they do, and then we can help them with their mission as well. So we have very positive interactions with our partners in the community, in the faith community, as well as the human service community.
90% of our conversations each year, Major, have come between Thanksgiving and Christmas, and it's the time of the year where the Salvation Army, not only here but elsewhere, is arguably the most visible throughout the year, with the bell ringers and other Christmas castle projects and food pantries, et cetera. But what you do really is 365 days a year.
Absolutely. You know, we have greater emphasis and visibility at this time of year. But all throughout the year, we are serving the community with food, clothing, all kinds of other services that people require and request. And we try to meet their needs. If we can't meet them specifically ourselves, we then will try to network with another agency and through referrals be able to get them the services they need if we're not the ones able to do it. And jokingly looking at the fact that, oh, we say, well, this is our busy season, but it seems like, you know, no matter what time of year you would call me, if I didn't get back to you right away, say, oh, it's been a busy week, They're every day, every season is our busy season, but we find great pleasure in it, and we just continue to serve, and as the year goes along, different priorities come about, and we are able to serve them as of each season of the year.
The Christmas kettles is an iconic image of the Salvation Army. Can we expect to see those Christmas kettles again this year?
Yes, the Christmas kettles will be out. We serve at 6 locations here in the community, and primarily we try to cover the highest trafficked areas if we can, and we will have volunteers out starting today. After I leave here, I'm going to go put the first few workers out, and we are excited about that. Our goal this year is $36,000. We've raised that in the past. Last year, we raised only about $25,500 because we didn't have as many locations and we didn't have as much coverage. But I do believe that we'll be able to meet that goal this year, and hoping to do some special things as time goes along. And I'll maybe call you up and say, hey, help us promote this particular emphasis as we get close. We're a Saturday short this year between Christmas and Thanksgiving and Christmas, and Saturdays are always our big day, one of our biggest days of revenue for the kettles. So having that one day short, only 3 Saturdays between now and Christmas is tough, because Christmas is a Saturday this year. We're glad that it is on a weekend. But, we're going to have to make adjustments and try to do a little bit more on the weekdays.
The pledges and donations for the Christmas Castle are earmarked, obviously, for the Christmas Castle and bundling up kids. Are the funds that are raised through the kettles, are they earmarked for anything specific?
The kettle income has first priority. It goes to help with our seasonal work. As you know, everyone that receives applies for Castle also gets food from us. They get a food box or a food certificate from us, and then there are other seniors that do not have children in their home. They apply for a Christmas food box, and so we provide that as well. So we need to the kettles goes towards that, and if hopefully we raise more than what it costs to feed, that will go into our general fund to do the things that we do 365 days a year, and we kind of count as that as sort of our booster to try to raise enough. And just that 30 days of bell ringing to try to last through 365 days a year.
And a little bit more on the food pantry. We talked earlier about coordinating with other agencies. There are churches, there are schools, there are other organizations that it's part of it each year. They have food drives for the Salvation Army, and they donate to you. How much of that do we see in our community?
Oh, we see couple great efforts that go forth. There are some churches, for example, that all throughout the year, every month, they just have a grocery cart in their lobby, and people all year long, just on Sunday, will bring in canned goods or dry goods items, and then every couple weeks, a church will just drive up and bring us a food donation. The elementary and high school this year is doing a food drive for us for Christmas time, and so they're getting their young people to start bringing canned goods in, and they brought us thousands of cans of food last year, and we expect a lot this year as well.
Of course, you can always use dollars for the food pantry as well, but for those that do donate canned goods or food, what tips do you have? What do you need the most?
What we try to say is think about what you're going to reach for in a hurry in your cupboard. The peanut butter and jelly, some soups, canned vegetables. And sometimes those practical meals with the flip-top lids, the mac and cheese, some of those things. A lot of our people do cook and prepare meals out of raw food, but due to storage and the ability to have shelf life, we do like the dry goods that have some shelf life so that we can hold on to them and pack them into a packet. The spaghetti any kind of spaghetti noodle or elbow macaroni and spaghetti sauce is always good. Those type of basic meals, and always cereal, oatmeal, instant oatmeal or cereal or something like that, because our kids, our families go through a lot of cereal. As you know, sometimes you don't eat it just for breakfast. It might be your lunch or your dinner.
Does the Salvation Army supplement those canned goods and those the non-perishables with fresh foods? with the package, or do you just supplement with anything?
Yes. If we're going to do a food box, we fortunately throughout the year have a partnership with Mid-Ohio Food Bank, and we pick up from grocery stores. And so based upon the items they give us, we often will have potatoes, onions, we'll have celery, we'll have all kinds of sometimes fruits. And then once a month we have a Produce Express day where people can come in and get the real good live produce and pick that up once a month. And so we do try to provide a variety of foods to help them.
Well, we need to take a break here. We'll circle back around to the Christmas Castle project, and we have several people that have contributed so far. I want to give them a shout-out, and we'll talk a little bit more about how you can participate and share with the Christmas Castle project. Very important fundraiser here in Coshocton County. It's all to bundle up Coshocton County kids. We'll be back right after these words. For winning Ohio lottery numbers 24 hours a day, call the B-Dry Lottery line at 622-CALL. That's 622-2255. Let B-Dry transform your damp basement into useful living space.
I'm John. You may know me as a commercial lender, but I'm also a craftsman and a dog dad.
At Park National Bank, we're more than our job titles, and you're more than an account number. You get personal attention and direct access to a caring, compassionate banker who respects and responds to your needs and goals. Find John or a banker near you at parknationalbank.com. Park National Bank, where you mean more. Member FDIC, parknationalbank.com.
It's bacon extravaganza at Papa John's Pizza. The triple bacon pizza is topped with smoky crumbled bacon, julienne cut Canadian bacon, and real smoked bacon slices. It's a bacon lover's dream. Get a large bacon pizza for $13. Order online at pjz.com or call 740-623-8483.
Choose a Genesis primary care provider as your go-to medical partner to manage your health needs. When you do, you'll have the benefit of MyChart, the secure electronic medical record system from Epic, the leading health information software company. Genesis Primary Care has offices conveniently located in Muskingum, Perry, and Coshocton counties. To find a Genesis primary care provider who is accepting new patients, make one call, 740-455-7500, and we'll help you find the right provider in the right location for you.
The telling someone you love them with McDonald's deal is as rare as it is special, since it's best shown by giving up the last bite. Because a gesture like that is a true act of selflessness.
Get free large fries with the purchase of a dollar or more, only through mobile order and pay.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
Valid once a day through 12/31/21 at participating McDonald's. McDonald's app download and registration required.
This Ion Weather Report is brought to you by Carol Goff and Associates Real Estate. The housing inventory in our local market is extremely low. It is a great time to consider listing your property with a local professional. Let one of the agents at Carol Goff and Associates help you with that process, from pricing to marketing to putting up the sold sign. Stop by their office at 404 North 2nd Street in Coshocton or call them anytime at 622-7653.
Mostly cloudy early today, then a chance of flurries, cold with near steady temperatures in the lower 30s for tonight. Mostly cloudy in the evening, then becoming a partly cloudy, lows in the lower 20s. And for tomorrow, mostly sunny in the morning, then a mostly cloudy with a slight chance of rain showers in the afternoon, cold with highs in the upper 30s. Chance of rain is 20%. It is currently 32 degrees in Coshocton, and we are back once again with Majors Tom Clark, Victoria Clark from the Salvation Army, the Christmas Castle Project. The monetary goal, $50,000 this year. That represents 316 families and a whole bunch of kids. And through your efforts, your generosity, your kind hearts, we will bundle them up this holiday season. And Tom, Vicki, once again, Trish Wilson and Keith Wilson, Wilson Carpet and Furniture, they always want to kick off the Christmas Castle project. They have done that some long before you arrived here in Coshocton, and they have shared $500 with the Christmas Castle.
Oh, we so appreciate that. Wilson Furniture loves to be that kind of prompter to get everyone reminded that, yeah, you can be generous and you can get this thing started off. So we appreciate Wilson Furniture.
And they want to, Trish always says, well, we want to take care of the first family. $500 certainly is going to take care of the first family and then some. And also, Tom, we received a check earlier this week from Baltic United Methodist Church, and they have also shared $500.
Wonderful. Oh, there's such generosity out there, and it reminds us that people are served throughout the whole county as well, and so we're glad that we could have that cooperation and participation from the faith community.
The Coshocton Foundation, they do so many wonderful things in our community, and they wanted to help us get started, kicked off as well, and they've shared $250.
Wonderful, wonderful. They are great partners, and we've seen them in other times of the year as well, have supported us, give us the ability to apply for local funds, and they've helped us with projects for youth and some other hunger food during COVID. So we appreciate the Coshocton Foundation and how that generates income.
And the Coshocton Foundation, not every community has an organization like that, and we are certainly fortunate to have them here helping out with the Christmas castle and so many other things in our community. So our running total is $1,250. That's a good start, but we're just getting started. Monetary goal is $50,000, and if anybody else would like to chip in and help build some momentum out of the chute, give us a call right now, 740-622-1560, 1567, or 545-9284. All three of those are organizations, and you know, $500 and $250. Not everybody's in a position to share big chunks of cash like that, but if you can share $10 or $20 or $50, whether you're an organization or an individual, give us a call, 740-622-1560, 1567, or 545-9284. And I've never done any formal number crunching, but we always have a lot of those $20, $25 donations as well, and they add up quickly.
They really do. It's so interesting. Those are our bread and butter, and we never want people to feel like, well, I can't really make a dent in the goal. When you have companies that can give $200 or $300 or $400, $10, $20, they really add up. It's the same principle we use with our bell ringing. We're just there encouraging you, reminding you, a little at a time goes such a long way, and never let that be a barrier if you're able to give.
Well, and we do have stories and information about each of the families, and I always like to remind folks that when we use names, those are fictional names, but the situations certainly are very, very real. These are real families. These are our friends and neighbors here in Coshocton County. We are up to family number four now. And what did they apply? Well, it says simply that we have been struggling and living paycheck to paycheck. There is a 17-year-old child, a 9-year-old child, a 4-year-old child, and I'm missing somebody here. 17, 9, 4, and 6. So if you can help out this family, 740-622-1560. We are on family number 4. We need to take another break here before the top of the hour. We'll be back around one more time with Majors Tom Clark and Victoria Clark from the Salvation Army.
Hi, Bob here from Plus One Pizza asking, when was the last time you had a really great pizza? Our new pizza is better than ever. Order one tonight online or call 622-9300. At Plus One Pizza, you'll love it, we guarantee it, or your money back. It's that good.
Coshocton Regional Medical Center has been proudly recognized as a 2021 Top 100 Hospital in the Nation by Fortune and IBM Watson Health. This distinction demonstrates our ongoing commitment to patient-centered care right here in Coshocton. With over 6,000 hospitals in the nation, we are proud of our employees and staff whose hard work and dedication to our patients made us a top 100 hospital. Coshocton Regional Medical Center, where care matters most.
Get the local weather forecast by calling the Jeff Drennan Ford Weather Service at 622-0194. No one will sell you a new Ford for less than Jeff Drennan Ford. Come down and see our great selection at Jeff Drennan Ford, South 2nd Street in Coshocton.
Hi, Bob here from Plus One Pizza asking, when was the last time you had a really great pizza? Our new pizza is better than ever. Order one tonight online or call 622-9300. At Plus One Pizza, you'll love it, we guarantee it, or your money back. It's that good.
Statistic. My daughter's not a headline.
My girl, she's not someone's agenda.
What
she is.
Is irreplaceable.
COVID hospitalizations of young people have
tripled since the start of summer.
So I talked to my daughter's doctor about COVID vaccines.
And she said they're highly effective in preventing hospitalizations
and deaths, even from the Delta variant.
We can do this. Find vaccines near you at vaccines.gov. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Black Friday is finally here, and Rural King has deals that can't be beat, like 20% off all boots, or a 4-foot LED shop light, just $14.99, or how about a 14-foot trampoline for $199.99, or 20-pound bags of gourmet grill pellets, just $4.99 each. Black Friday deals only last Wednesday through Saturday, so shop 4 days of unbeatable deals at RuralKing.com, or your neighborhood Rural King, America's farm and home store.
Okay, we are all caught up now. We are back one more time with Majors Tom Clark and Victoria Clark from the Salvation Army, and the pledges have started coming in. We received an individual pledge from an individual donor, $50. And again, just to remind folks, if you would like us to read your name over the air, we will do that. But with the individual donors, we don't do that unless they request that we do. The opposite for the businesses and organizations. We will give your organization some recognition unless you tell us not to. So suffice to say, this $50 pledge from an individual donor, and well, it's another media professional, I'll say that much.
Great.
So I want to thank him for his donation as well.
We appreciate that.
And so what else would you like to share with us, Tom, about the Christmas Castle Project or anything going on through the Salvation Army this time of year?
A couple of things. If people are listening that might be recipients of it, just to be patient. Those who applied will be hearing from us through the mail in terms of their time, the time and day that they're supposed to come to the castle. The application process does take us a little while to process the numbers and the families and see how many we can fit in per half hour when we go to Walmart. And so it's important for them to just be patient, and we will be in touch with everybody. If they don't hear from us by the first end of the first week of December, they could call in. But for the most part, we should have our letters and information out to them very soon.
Just received another, and this is an organization, Coshocton Firefighters Local 216, and these are men and women that are protecting us, also looking out for the kids in the community as well. They have put together $250, Tom.
Oh, that's terrific. They serve with their very being in their profession, and then to have them to reach out to the community, we really appreciate them caring for our young people.
Victoria, Major, you've been listening on the phone for a while now. What else would you like to share with us today before we wrap up?
Well, we would just like to say thank you to WTNF again for your partnership. We appreciate the time and the effort that you guys give and the dedication that you guys give to the Salvation Army. That really means a lot to us, the fact that you have the voice that can reach the hearts and tug on a little bit of the wallets of our donors. But without the community support, we would not be able to pull off this endeavor. And we are very grateful to be a part of a community that is so generous. And it's not just during the holiday season, but throughout the whole year, we've seen wonderful, wonderful outpouring support and generosity from our community. But we're focusing this year during the holiday season with some hardships from our families, some families that have had financial setbacks, medical setbacks, but some family members that have lost loved ones during this process of our COVID days. So, you know, having the generosity and I like your phrase, Michael, that you said, the hearts and kindness of those that are participating in the Christmas Castle this year monetarily, as well as giving of their time and energy. We really do appreciate the kindness and the hearts of love, the people that are going to be supporting the Christmas Castle during this holiday season. So thank you, WTNS, for your support, your commitment to us, but most importantly for those that are listening, that are going to be contributing, our donors and monetary donations. We are very, very grateful for your partnership as well.
Well, and I know I can speak for the whole staff here at WTNS that it is heartwarming and fulfilling for us as well to be able to help get the word out there for the Salvation Army's efforts and to encourage people to share with the Christmas Castle project as they do so generously each year. And Tom, any final words for us today?
Just want to follow up on what Major Vicky said. We enjoy what we do here. We feel like it's a partnership with the community, but we feel like it's a family, and we are really grateful that being able to be assigned here to live in and work here in Coshocton, that we have been embraced by this community, and then we have the opportunity to be fulfilled in our calling to serve, to care for, and to bring encouragement and hope to people.
Thank you both for being with us today. Major Vicky, thank you for being with us. And Major Tom, thank you as well. And I'm sure that we will be speaking throughout the Christmas Castle campaign to talk a little bit about updates. And hopefully about this time in a week, as has so often been the case, we can talk about wrapping up the fundraising phase of the Christmas Castle. And that's where you, the donors, come in. Give us a call at 740-622-1560 right now. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
That is Majors Tom and Victoria Clark from the Salvation Army. We have open phone lines up until 11 o'clock, 740-622-1560. Same number as if you would like to share with the Christmas Castle. We'll talk to you and determine whether you want to go on the air with me and or share with the Christmas Castle. I hope you had a great Thanksgiving yesterday. We can talk about that. It is Friday. We've got the Christmas season upon us. It is Black Friday as well, so the shopping season is upon us too. So we can talk about that, or we can talk about sports. We've got the big game tomorrow between Michigan and Ohio State. Buckeyes fans, don't expect another thrashing of Michigan like what we saw against Michigan State last week. That would be nice. I would be okay with that should it happen, but just my spider sense is telling me that this is going to be a more exciting game tomorrow. Michigan's defense, although Michigan State did beat Michigan's defense is a little bit better than what we saw from Michigan State, and plus the Wolverines are playing for the exact same thing the Buckeyes are. Buckeyes are getting all the attention here over the last couple of weeks, but Michigan is playing for pride over Ohio State. They are playing for a chance to play for the Big Ten Championship and a Big Ten Championship itself. And if Michigan or Ohio State accomplishes those two things, then that one team, they aren't both going to make it, but that one team would most certainly be in the Final Four to compete for a national championship. Exact same goals from both teams, and I expect them to leave it on the field tomorrow at the Big House in Michigan. So we can talk some sports if you would like. If you want to donate to the Christmas Castle, give me a call. We've had a few calls already this morning, so keep them coming. 740-622-1560. Let's check our weather forecast.
Hey there, it's Kenzie again. Every time I'm on the radio, I tell you that Fisher Decorating has been here since 1946. Well, if you do the math, folks, that's 75 years. So stop in and check out our great selection of paint, floor covering, including remnants, and so much more. Maybe now would be a good time to change the name to Kenzie's Carpets. Well, I'm not holding my breath. That's Fisher Decorating Center, helping you make your house a home for 75 years.
Mostly cloudy early today with a chance of flurries, cool with near steady temperatures in the lower 30s for tonight. Mostly cloudy in the evening, then becoming a partly cloudy overnight, lows in the lower 20s. And tomorrow, mostly sunny in the morning, then mostly cloudy with a slight chance of rain showers in the afternoon. Cold with highs in the upper 30s. Chance of rain is 20%. Currently in Coshocton, it is 32 degrees. The phone lines are open, and well, just like that, I have some math to do for the Christmas Castle. We'll give you an update right after the news from the Associated Press.
This is AP News. I'm Rita Foley. Happy Thanksgiving.
Nearly 200 million Americans are now fully vaccinated, and that's giving many confidence that they can travel safely this year to visit family and friends. The AP's Mike Hempen.
The number of air travelers this week is expected to approach or even exceed pre-pandemic levels. AAA predicts that 48.3 million people will travel at least 50 miles from home over the holiday period. That's an increase of nearly 4 million from last year, despite sharply higher gasoline prices. More than 2.2 million travelers streamed through airport checkpoints last Friday, the busiest day since the pandemic devastated travel early last year.
And this morning, the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade returns the way you remember it. Balloons, clowns, marching bands, Santa Claus, and spectators. They were banned from the parade last year because of the pandemic. New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. We are pumped up to see the balloons pumped up. This is really one of the very best things that happens all year in New York City.
Shoppers are returning to stores and splurging on all kinds of things. But listen to this. You may well pay up to 17% more for toys, clothing, TVs, and other things on Black Friday this year compared with last year. That's according to Allianz Research. Ahmaud Arbery's mother says though three white men have been convicted of murdering her son as he ran in their Georgia neighborhood, the trial victory is bittersweet.
I often think about that days ago, that when we got justice for Ahmaud, that it would be a victory, but at the same time, Ahmaud will not be returning home. Ahmaud is gone forever.
Wanda Cooper-Jones spoke to the AP. This is AP News.
It is 5 minutes after 10 o'clock, and open phone lines up until 11 o'clock this morning. Well, good, important stories from the Associated Press, but a little bit outdated. Black Friday in there, though, and we can talk about Black Friday if you would like. Shopping and Christmas gifts, a big part of Christmas traditions, to the point where we are at the, I don't know, maybe it's fair or unfair to call it the excesses of Christmas shopping that we have, but good for our economy. So we can chat about that if you would like. We can talk about the Christmas castle. Just received a family donation of $100, so a very generous family donation. And so that brings our running total now to $1,400. The goal? $50,000 this year. Technically a couple of hundred dollars less than that, but just for the sake of simplicity, we're calling it $50,000. But if we hit that $50,000 goal, that will help out 316 families in need here in Coshocton County, and that represents approximately 738 kids total. So keep those calls coming for the Christmas Castle at 740-622-1560. And we can, phone lines are open for the Christmas Castle. And also the phone lines are open to be on the talk show with me on this day after Thanksgiving. The, kickoff, I don't know what's official or unofficial, but the, kickoff to people say wait till after Thanksgiving before we start preparing for Christmas in earnest. As far as I'm concerned, you can prepare for Christmas whenever you want. In fact, maybe the world would be a better place if we had the Christmas spirit 365 days a year. So give me a call. The phone lines are open, 740-622-1560. And these businesses will be observing these holiday hours. Coshocton Coffee Connection is open today from 6 a.m. till 2 p.m. Tomorrow from 6 to 2 as well. Pearl Valley Cheese is open from 8 a.m. until 5 p.m. today, 8 to 5 tomorrow. Buckeye Beverage Barn is open from 10 a.m. till 10 p.m. today and tomorrow. Their pizza shop is open from 3 p.m. till 9 p.m. today and tomorrow. Brillhart's Body Shop is closed today and tomorrow. Legacy Lanes and Lounge is open from 11 a.m. till 10 p.m. today, 9 a.m. until 11 p.m. tomorrow. Maryland's Natural Foods is open today from 9:30 a.m. until 5:30 p.m. tomorrow from 9:30 a.m. until 3. White Eye's Carryout Pizza and Fuel Stop is open from 7 a.m. until 10 p.m. today, 8 a.m. till 10 p.m. tomorrow. Frontier Propane is closed today and tomorrow. Frontier Propane closed today and tomorrow. Plus One Pizza is open 11 to 11 today and tomorrow. Sheets Tree Farm is open for the season starting today, and they'll be open through December the 18th from 9 to 5 each day. April's Country Kitchen is open from 7 a.m. until 7 p.m. today, 7 to 7 tomorrow. Stewart Interiors is closed today. They'll be open 9 a.m. until noon tomorrow. Otsego Carryout is open from 5:30 a.m. till 10 p.m. today, 7 a.m. till 10 p.m. tomorrow. Warehouse Steak and Stein is open 11 a.m. till 10 p.m. today and 11 to 10 tomorrow.
My son is not some statistic.
My daughter's not a headline.
My girl, she's not someone's agenda.
What
she is.
Is irreplaceable.
COVID hospitalizations of young people have
tripled since the start of summer.
So I talked to my daughter's doctor about COVID vaccines.
And she said they're highly effective in preventing hospitalizations
and deaths, even from the Delta variant.
We can do this. Find vaccines near you at vaccines.gov. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Black Friday is finally here, and Rural King has deals that can't be beat, like 20% off all boots, or a 4-foot LED shop light, just $14.99. Or how about a 14-foot trampoline for $199.99? Or 20-pound bags of gourmet grill pellets, just $4.99 each. Black Friday deals only last Wednesday through Saturday, so shop 4 days of unbeatable deals at RuralKing.com or your neighborhood Rural King, America's farm and home store.
It is 10 minutes after 10, and I'm falling behind on my paperwork already. Technically a spreadsheet, which makes things easier. It does the math for us. But we, again, had a family donation of $100, and we have just heard from the Lone Star Masonic Lodge in Newcomerstown. They have shared $200, and they challenge other Coshocton County lodges to meet or beat their pledge of $200. So we want to thank the Lone Star Masonic Lodge in Newcomerstown and a bunch of other lodges. And I know you're listening right now. And I know many of the lodges have donated generously in the past as well. Well, the Lone Star Masonic Lodge in Newcomerstown has thrown down the gauntlet. $200 is their challenge to the rest of the lodges. And, well, technically, the Lone Star Masonic Lodge in Newcomerstown and also the Baltic United Methodist Church, technically both of those organizations just across the border, not in Coshocton County, but nevertheless, they have gotten together to help Coshocton County kids, and so we do appreciate all of those folks for sharing with the Christmas Castle. So we are off to a rollicking start, and we have some phone callers waiting, so let's take our first call of the hour. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, Mike. How are you today?
Very good. How are you?
Fine. You and I talked a couple of weeks ago about cursive writing.
Yes.
And you asked me if any of the schools in the county were still teaching that.
Did you do some research on my behalf?
I did. Governor Kasich in 2019 signed a bill that mandated that cursive writing in Ohio has to be taught by fifth grade.
So it is law in Ohio to teach cursive.
Right.
Okay.
It is. It is. And so I thought that was interesting.
Yeah.
Sometime in the future, somebody may call in about it again, and then you would know that.
Well, so. And I appreciate that because a lot of we've talked about cursive writing time and again, and you know, people say, well, they don't teach cursive anymore. In some places, I'm sure that they don't, but I wasn't sure about here in Coshocton County. So, according to that information, all the public schools in the state of Ohio are mandated to teach cursive.
Right. And what happened from the brief reading that I did, when Common Core standards came out, it was included in those standards, but it was not mandated. And then a lot of schools started dropping the teaching of it, and predominantly because they thought it took too much time because of other things they thought were more important. So, but now it's mandated, so Ohio is covering it.
Now, did you...
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to ask you, did you teach high school English your entire career?
I did. I taught high school, and I also taught at COTC for many, many years.
Yeah, okay. So it was beyond the kids already knew how to write cursive by the time they got to your classroom.
They did, but, you know, it was interesting. You said to me, you printed, and I always noticed with my seniors that more males printed than females, and I have sons, and they all print. So I can't give you any science behind that, but I just always noticed that. So
well, and there seems to be, not always, but there seems to be at least to some degree that you can tell the difference between a man's handwriting and a woman's, or a male or female. Not always, but there does seem to be a difference. Have you noticed that?
Well, you know, I've never thought about that, but that could be. I really never thought about it being, you know, a gender thing like that, but it could be.
Did you notice the style or the neatness, the attractiveness of cursive writing change over your career from your students?
Well, I think I told you this before. I always found that my foreign exchange students, which I always had one or two every year except for maybe a couple of years, that their handwriting was always really nice,
yeah,
and neat. And American students, there are some that are very neat, but it's not necessarily something that many of them strive for. And I just always felt, well, you know, wonder how they're taught that they're always so neat and very easy to read. But, you know,
the inspiration for that question, and this is just my observation, but it does seem that the generation before me, my parents and maybe grandparents, put more emphasis on the neatness or attractiveness of cursive writing than my generation did. I was a decent student, but my handwriting never was among the best.
Well, you know, and that could very well be too true. If parents stress it, then obviously children are going to want it to be neat. They're going to strive for that. And of course, I'm old now, so sometimes I write something and I think, oh my gosh, that looks terrible, and I'll write it again.
Well, yeah, me too. And I write, it depends on whether I'm writing a note for myself, whether I'm writing a note that doesn't need to be clear, or whether it needs to be crystal clear. That impacts how neatly I try to write. However, I have had occasions where I can't even read my own writing, and that's just embarrassing.
I've had the same thing happen. I wanted to say something to you about the Christmas Castle Project.
Yeah.
For years, my mother would be here for the holidays, and she was so impressed that the radio station and the Salvation Army, that you were doing this, she would sit and listen, and she thought it was so worthwhile, and she would make many donations that she heard about the families. And so every year when you start this, I always think of what my mother used to do with that. She thought that was wonderful that this community did that. So
and that it is, and it was people like your mother and everybody that donates that ultimately are the ones that are responsible for making it happen. And I'm glad you shared that story with us.
Well, listen, you have a great day, and I'm sure they will meet the goal, okay?
Thanks for calling. It is 17 minutes after 10 o'clock. Phone lines are open, and just to recap, we did have some discussion, it's been maybe a month or so ago, or a few weeks ago, about cursive writing and teaching cursive writing in schools, and You know, there are a lot of folks that are of the belief that, well, they don't teach cursive writing anymore. You know, people will make that statement, and some places they don't. But I was unsure about Coshocton County, so the caller did some research on our behalf, and according to that caller, currently teaching of cursive writing is mandated for kids before they reach fifth grade, I believe is what she said. So what about the importance of cursive writing? And I would agree that we are better off if we can write cursive than if we can't. But is it as necessary as it once was? And oh my gosh, I am getting behind, way behind already. We've got lots of pledges coming in for the Christmas castle. But if you have any thoughts on cursive writing, is it important? I've never been a good writer, and I have tried. I can print fairly well when I try, but my handwriting has always been terrible, and anybody that has seen it and tried to read it will agree with that. That doesn't mean I don't think it's important. In sharp contrast to my father, who had the most beautiful handwriting that of anybody that I have ever seen. The baseline was always straight. The X and the Y heights of the letters always consistent. And the italicization, if that's the right word, always consistent. And I'm using a lot of typographic terms here, but as far as cursive writing goes, his was the most beautiful. My mom's wasn't bad as well. However, I did not pick up that gene from dad or mom. So we can talk about that if you would like. But back then, when I was a kid, when they were kids, we didn't have keyboards. We didn't communicate as much with keyboards. We didn't have Facebook. We didn't type our thoughts into computers. So we did not have there were typewriters, but we did not have the spreadsheets and Microsoft Word and documents that we tend to, you know, when a kid writes a report for school, this would be another question maybe for our last caller. Are they required to write it out in cursive or manuscript, or by and large, do they type it up in their word processor? Phone lines are open to talk about that if you would like, or if there is something else that's on your mind, you know what to do. I'll be back right after this.
This season, there's a new choice for your fields. Zatavo soybean seed, designed with triple stacked Enlist E3 technology for weed control flexibility. Supported by a dedicated team of BASF agronomic experts. Protected by the versatile BASF soybean crop protection portfolio. Zatavo soybean seed, stacked in your favor. Zatavo from MS Technologies, distributed exclusively by BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
Hi, Bob here from Plus One Pizza asking, when was the last time you had a really great pizza? Our new pizza is better than ever. Order one tonight online or call 622-9300. At Plus One Pizza, you'll love it, we guarantee it, or your money back. It's that good.
Every volunteer firefighter is driven by a different inspiration. For some, it's the passion for serving their community. Others want to set an example for their kids. Or it could just be the sense of family that comes from working with neighbors. What fuels your fire? You don't need prior experience to join. Find out more information by calling 740-502-3809 or stop by the Jackson Township Fire Department, 887 State Route 541 West, just outside of Coshocton. Paid training may be available for those who qualify.
This is the voice of the Buckeyes, Paul Keels. It's the greatest rivalry in college football. Join us Saturday as Ohio State is at Michigan.
Down the left side, inside the 10, Olave got it for a score. He'll bolt that one into the end zone, caught for a touchdown. Garrett Wilson on a 10-yard catch. Ball in the hands, throws in the end zone, caught, Rucker, touchdown.
We'll be on the air with the AEP Energy Buckeye pregame show beginning at 10:30 a.m. here on the Ohio State Sports Network from Learfield.
We all want more time with our dads, brothers,
partners, friends, and our sons. Time for more conversations, more catch-ups, more of what life's all about. Now is our time to make it happen. Together, we can stop men dying too young by tackling the big issues: prostate cancer, testicular cancer, mental health, suicide. It's time to act. Sign up at Movember.com and raise funds to help change the face of men's health.
All right, class, let's hear what everyone did this weekend. Jill?
Well, I raised my older sister to a big oak tree. It was at least 100 years old. My mom said I must have set a record or something. And then we went down by a stream and perched up on this huge rock and saw all of these little minnows swimming around way below us. And then I rescued my little brother from an evil slug king who was guarding him at the bush fortress. And my sister and I brought him back to our super twig fort for safety. And then we all laid out and told stories until it got dark. And the Big Dipper led us all the way home.
Wow. Awesome.
Where were you, Jill?
Yeah. We went to the forest. It's not that far away. Anyone want to come this weekend?
Ask your parents to take you and your friends to the forest this week and find the fun, adventurous you. It's closer than you think. Check out discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
This is the sound of giraffes facing problems like habitat destruction and poaching. This is the sound of giraffes under consideration to be listed on the endangered species list for the very first time. This is the sound of wild populations plummeting by nearly 40% over the last 30 years. This is the sound of a silent extinction. Help giraffes break the silence by joining San Diego Zoo Global Wildlife Conservancy at endextinction.org and be heard for the herd.
Hey there, this is Chris from The Glass House. The Glass House is the area's go-to stop for all your tattoo supplies, horror collectibles, and tobacco products. We have the largest selection of Delta 8, CBD, vaporizers, and glass pipes. So stop by The Glass House at 523 Main Street. We're open Monday through Thursday, 10 to 8, Friday and Saturday, 10 to 9, and Sunday, 11 to 7.
Mostly cloudy early today, then a chance of flurries. Cold with near steady temperatures in the lower 30s. For tonight, mostly cloudy in the evening, then becoming a partly cloudy. Lows in the lower 20s. And tomorrow, mostly sunny in the morning, then a mostly cloudy with a slight chance of rain showers in the afternoon. Cold with highs in the upper 30s. Chance of rain, 20%. Currently, it is 31 degrees in Coshocton. We have a caller waiting. An update on the Christmas castle. Our running total now, $1,925. Monetary goal of $50,000. And we had somebody that just stopped in and anonymously dropped off $100. I want to thank them for sharing with the Christmas castle. Very generous, and did so anonymously, but we do want you to know that you are appreciated. We had a call from a Riverview school teacher. Don't know if he wanted me to use his name or not. However, he has shared $75, and he issues a challenge to all other Riverview school teachers to make a pledge as well. So $75, very generous. And so if you're a Riverview school teacher, see if you can meet or beat that pledge of $75, or a teacher from anywhere for that matter. So give me a call, $1,925 is our running total. So we still have $48,075 to go to reach that monetary goal of $50,000, and I know we'll do it. Need to keep the momentum going, and we started off with some pretty good momentum this morning on the Christmas castle. Let's take another phone call. Hello, you're on the air.
Good morning. I want to thank all of the WTNS staff for your participation in helping, aiding, and abetting the WTNS and the Christmas Castle joint unit for everything that you do.
Thank you for the kind words, and we are doing just that. We are helping truly the Salvation Army and their organization. That they do a great deal of work to make this happen, but we just help get the message out. It's truly all the people that call in and share and help buying those clothes that make it happen. But thank you for the kind words. Appreciate it.
Sure. Also, one more thing. Uh-huh. I was astonished the other day when your station was not on the air in the morning. And I'm not calling to criticize anything about that. I'm thanking you for all the thousands and thousands of other days that you are on the air.
Well,
because my clock radio, that's how I wake up each morning.
Well, I've just learned that we did have some technical issues tomorrow morning. It was not by design. We are not going to stop broadcasting on holidays. The plan was to automate yesterday morning. We did, in fact, get on the air at 5:58 when we usually sign on, and at least up through about 6:45. But then something went haywire, and it took us a little bit to get back on the air, but we ultimately got it fixed.
Right, and just think of all the thousands of days you have done it everything correctly. So thank you for those.
I appreciate that as well. I just want to make sure people understand that we're not going to start going off the air on holidays. It was a technical glitch yesterday.
Right, okay.
All right.
You're forgiven for that.
All right. Thanks for calling. 10:29 is the time. We have open phone lines up until 11 o'clock this morning, 740-622-1560. We'll be back in a moment.
Hey, sis. Missed you this morning. Kim told me you weren't feeling well, so I'm just doing a self-care check.
Oh, thank you, friend.
How you doing?
Girl, listen, my energy was so low because I didn't eat breakfast when I got up, so I had to miss virtual yoga with y'all.
Trust me, I understand.
But I'm doing much better now that I've eaten, so I'm back on track.
Great. In that case, let's get some steps in tonight. I'll come over and we can walk around the lake.
Sounds good. Appreciate you being in my business, too. Now, let me get in yours. Did you check your blood pressure today?
I did that and my squats. Okay?
Okay.
High blood pressure is not going to be my friend if I can help it. See you at 6?
Let's get it. See you then.
Now more than ever, it's important that we protect our hearts and the hearts of those we love. Check in on one another and be a part of a healthy blood pressure movement. Rally Your Squad to take the online pledge at releasethepressure.org. Brought to you by the Release the Pressure Coalition and the Ad Council.
Listen to the radio driving in your car. Radio gets results. Radio is there no matter where you are. Radio gets results. When you need to get your message through, people really do listen to you.
Call the Jeff Drennan Ford Weather Service for the local forecast 24 hours a day at 622-0194. Jeff Drennan Ford, 801 South 2nd Street, Coshocton. And always remember, when you're thinking of buying a new car, it's time to talk to Jeff.
The weather is brought to you by Stewart Interiors, your interior design center. For craftsmanship and quality in your next interior design project, choose Stewart Interiors. See Stewart Interiors at their new location, 520 Main Street in Coshocton, right in front of Sprint Print.
Mostly cloudy skies early today, not a chance of flurries. Cold, near steady temperatures in the lower 30s. For tonight, mostly cloudy in the evening, then becoming a partly cloudy. Lows in the lower 20s. And tomorrow, mostly sunny in the morning, then mostly cloudy with a slight chance of rain showers in the afternoon. Cold, with high temperatures in the upper 30s. Chance of rain is 20%. Right now in Coshocton, it is 31 degrees. We have open phone lines up until 11, 740-622-1560, 1567 or 545-9284. And a $50 pledge, check for the, for $50 coming in from a individual donor, family donation. So we want to thank her slash them for their generosity. So another $50 to add to the total. We have open phone lines up until 11 o'clock. These businesses will be observing these holiday hours. Village Mobile Gas and Convenience Store is open 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. The Garden Patch is open today from 10 to 5. They're open tomorrow from 10 to 4. Mercantile on Main is open from 9:30 to 5 today, 9 to 3 tomorrow. Bueller's Food Market is open from 6 a.m. till 10 p.m. today, 6 to 10 tomorrow. Phase 3 Barber Shop is open 8:30 a.m. until 5:30 p.m. today, closed tomorrow. Liddy Scrapyard is closed today and tomorrow. Buckeye Beverage Barn is open at 10 a.m. till 10 p.m. today and tomorrow. Their pizza shop is open from 3 to 9 p.m. Frontier Supply is open 7:30 a.m. until 2 o'clock this afternoon. They'll be closed tomorrow. Lenny's Barber Shop is open 9 to 5 today. They'll be open 9 till noon tomorrow. Coshocton Break and Supply is closed today and tomorrow. Coshocton Recycling is closed today and tomorrow. Good Boy Bakery is open 10 to 5 today and tomorrow. M2 Drive-Thru is open from 9 a.m. to 11:30 p.m. today and open from 9 to 11:30 tomorrow. Extreme Rental Purchase is open from 10 to 6 today and 9 to 5 tomorrow. 10:34 is the time. Phone lines are open. If you'd like to share with the Christmas Castle Project, give us a call. If there's something else that you would like to bring up, be my guest. Nothing but open phone lines until 11 o'clock this morning. We did talk a little bit about cursive writing this morning. According to one of our callers, cursive writing at this point is mandated by the state of Ohio to be taught to students, public school students, presumably, by the fifth grade. So cursive is still taught here in Coshocton County and throughout the state of Ohio, but it isn't everywhere, and I don't know how widespread the discontinuation of cursive writing teaching is, but there is a widespread belief among some that they don't teach cursive writing anywhere anymore. They do still teach it here in Coshocton County. That being said, how important is cursive writing today here in 2021 versus, you know, 1969 or 1949? Is it important? Well, yes. What are if we're not teaching cursive writing, then what do we teach in its place? There are people that have offered suggestions, things that should be taught in school that aren't. There is home economics and industrial arts. Those were what they were called. That's what they were called when I was in school. They might have different names now, whether it's a shop or something else. What about balancing checkbooks? What about home finances, financial literacy? Somebody else suggested media literacy. Those things that should be taught in school, perhaps instead of cursive writing. Give me a call. We can talk about that if you would like. The phone lines are open up until 11 o'clock. It is Friday, after all. Friday after a holiday and right before another holiday to boot. And that holiday is Michigan Day. I know not everybody considers the day of a football game a holiday. Got Super Sunday, but to me, Michigan Day or Ishigan Day, or that Team Up North Day, even bigger holiday than the Super Bowl, especially since the Buckeyes have owned the Wolverines for a decade now. And I just think tomorrow is going to be a struggle. It's easy for Buckeyes fans, and I think Ryan Day will have them ready, don't get me wrong, but easy for Buckeyes fans to see what they did to Michigan State last week and expecting a repeat this week. And when a team turns the ball over like Michigan State did, that can equalize things or make things look a lot better or worse than they really are. And when you get behind big early, that takes team out of their game plan. Sometimes they recover. More often, things just tend to get worse, and that's what happened to Michigan State last week. But that game was in the horseshoe. Tomorrow's game is in the Big House in Michigan. All the fans at that game are going to be rooting for the wrong team, and that is a factor. There is a home field advantage, and infuriating to watch on TV when you hear the crowd in the background cheering for the wrong team. So let's just hope the Buckeyes don't give them anything to cheer about. It's 10:38. We can talk some sports if you would like. We can talk about your Thanksgiving holiday, or we can chat about something completely different. It is 10:38. We do have a caller waiting, so let's get back to the phones now. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi. Well, I always want to write down interesting things to talk about, and I never get them written down, so I never can remember them when it's time to call.
Did you remember one today, or?
I didn't, but I heard you say something about cursive writing.
Yes.
We went through this a couple months ago, I think.
Yeah, we did. And in fact, earlier, I don't know if you were listening, earlier this hour, we had one of the teachers that I talked to I had made the comment a few weeks ago that I don't know if they still teach it here locally or not. And according to her, it is currently mandated in the state of Ohio in public schools to teach cursive writing by grade 5. So that being said, that means, well, they still teach it here in Coshocton County.
Well, and I think I always thought kind of struggling with it a little bit in second grade, that third might be better. It's like methods of reading teaching, you know. I don't want to get off into that rabbit hole, but, you know, there's developmental stages that we go through, and generally speaking, the developmental stages for certain kinds of reading instruction, especially phonics, are not kindergarten and first grade, really. Now, I can hear a lot of primary teachers screaming at the radio, but I learned it the hard way, because when I was a teaching assistant at Ohio State and there weren't any jobs in the music department, I taught applied ed psych, and I was in the education building with a lot of those folks that were specialists in what was called reading recovery. And I don't know if I can get into all the fine details of that because it's been so long ago. But the same with handwriting. You might wait, not worry about second grade, you know. And then there's a kind of in-between type of writing between printing and cursive. And I want to say the name for it is Danielian handwriting. And it's kind of a half-printed, half-cursive handwriting. Someone could call in and correct that. But I just find it very, very frustrating. I mean, some of my younger relatives I'm around, and at least one of them has a problem, a dysgraphic problem anyway, reading things. And my cursive can be bad when I'm moving fast. But there are, I think, increasingly people in a certain age bracket, I don't know what I'll say, between 25 and 40 right now, that may be really handicapped reading cursive writing. So at some point, I think there ought to, if you're not going to teach it, there ought to at least be a talk about it and a couple exercises in what it would look like. And everyone should know how to sign his or her name, I believe, in cursive. And even some younger people struggle with that. And I'll never forget, and I'll use his name because he's long gone, is Robert Woody came to Coshocton County to be principal at Conesville. Mr. Ward didn't retire in time, so he taught sixth grade at Keene, and I had him for sixth grade. Had his daughter for second grade, but never knew that till sixth grade was almost over. He says, well, some of you children probably had my daughter for second grade, and I had. And she may be my only elementary teacher that is still with us, but I haven't found her for quite a few years. Anyhow, he said to a kid in sixth grade, he said, and this kid was dysgraphic, I know now, if I ever see him at a class reunion, I'll say, and his writing was so horrible, his cursive, that Mr. Woody said to him, you know, you are going to have to learn, and I'll work with you here yet in sixth grade, to adapt a printing style of writing that a lot of men use. And that kid, other than signing his name, did that printed writing all through high school, as far as I know. and he was advised to do it.
And that was that hybrid of manuscript and cursive that you were talking about?
No, it was just plain printing.
Okay.
No, I don't think Mr. Woody knew about Danielian handwriting because
okay.
he had mostly taught upper elementary, junior high, maybe even high school in North Carolina. And when he retired there, he came up to Shotton County. Then he was principal at Conesville for quite a few years.
But he knew that the kid's cursive was not up to snuff and knew that he needed some way to be able to communicate by writing.
Right.
Okay.
And you see that on a lot of invoices you'll get from places, and it's usually men that do it. They've adopted a printed style of writing or even a block style of printing so that they can be understood and it can be clear when they are working and have to write invoices and bills of sale and things like that. So, I don't know what else to talk about. I was going to go Black Friday shopping for the first time in my life, and I've chickened out.
Not me. I'm going home. I got plenty of stuff to do at home today, and if I miss out on a deal or two, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, and I did, you know, it's very weird today just hearing you go through the different business variations that you really can't count on anything that you would expect to be open on a Friday to be open today. Necessarily, you know, especially if they think there won't be any foot traffic or any money to be made. I'm thinking about in certain parts of the county or city or in big cities, you know, downtowns, if there are no stores anymore, the downtowns might be kind of closed up as far as, you know, even finding a bite to eat or something like that, you know, which is a very strange turn of events from years ago. And I will comment on one thing that has been on my mind because I commented on the other. And, all the fun topics I've got to write down, Mike, or I'll never remember them. But I think once again with the courts and stuff that the courts have spoken and the juries have spoken. And I think we have to live with it, whichever side of any debate we're on, like I mentioned the other day with the trial in wherever it was, Waukesha.
Yeah.
Wisconsin, Waukesha. Yeah. And the same thing in Brunswick, Georgia, you know, whichever side of any disagreement you're on, and the leaders, like I said, have to say, yes, the courts have spoken, as you know, and the presidents mostly always should say, look, the courts have spoken. I may not disagree with it, but to attack the judges and juries, as some politicians do now, is just, you know, that's another red flag to me about democracy, you know. So I'm sorry to veer off.
Well, not exactly a Friday topic, but I agree with what you're saying, though. And furthermore, I mean, we sit back and people choose, you know, where they get their information on the world, and it's better than others. You will see two distinctly different presentations from the regular media and some of the others. But one thing I think that I would add to that we all need to remember is that it's the judges and the jurors and the lawyers and the people in that courtroom that are going to get the full picture, or at least a much, much better picture than what we get from the sound bites from what we see. And furthermore, we all have a tendency to want a certain outcome based on our preconceived notions, but the jurors are the ones that are trusted or burdened or trusted, however you want to put it, to weigh all of those everything that they see and come up with a conclusion. And from where we sit, we might not always agree with what that conclusion is. Maybe the lawyers didn't present things in a way that that we would have them do, but that is the process. It's the one that we have to work with here in the U.S. It isn't perfect, but in my opinion, it's still a pretty good one.
Well, yeah, and if we start materially messing with it, or you know, politicians use pardon power to get around it in a big way, I think, well, we're just heading, we're just on the wrong track. But I will say that want to completely now switch back to something more joyful.
Let's do that.
I happened to go through downtown Columbus and went to the main library because I saw a picture on the internet of a beautiful train display they have there. So if anybody's in downtown Columbus with their kids and want to do something where you can just walk in free, of course you got to wear a mask in the library, they have this train display, and I think it was given to the library by Huntington Bank some years ago. And it's set up differently every year, and the buildings and the castles and the churches are modeled on a couple certain villages in Bavaria in Germany. And the castle is supposedly Mad Ludwig's castle, Neuschwanstein, if I'm saying the right word. And then these trains chug, there's three trains chugging through different parts of this landscape. And every year the people that come in and set it up a little differently, right in the lobby of the main library on Grant Street in Columbus, across from Grant Hospital. So that would be a nice little diversion. You would have to either find a parking meter or park in the library garage to go in and see it. But when I was there, there were families with, I don't know, 3, 4, 5, 6-year-old kids there, and they were just, they were going crazy over this display. And it's really, really quite nice if you're around in Columbus. And of course, there's stuff like that set up all over the place, all kinds of cool stuff. But that was just one that I thought, well, I'm just going to take 10 minutes and walk in here. You know, I never was a huge train buff as a kid. I had a train set at one time that went around the Christmas tree, I think, like every kid did. But anyway, so we'll leave it on that upbeat thing. And I'll start writing down the more fun topics so I can remember them when it comes time.
They don't always have to be fun topics, but I always enjoy it when we can talk about it, you and me or anybody can talk about things that may not necessarily be the news headlines of the day, where you know people get their opinions from elsewhere and bring them here, but where we can mull around what we already understand about it.
Yeah. Oh, and gas prices.
Yeah.
I'm glad you guys have those up sometimes. On, you know that station, if you're coming into Newark, on up on the right with the Wendy's.
The Dayton Road. That one seems to be,
Road.
Yeah, it is often cited as an example. And also, for whatever reason, seems to be among the lowest between here and in Columbus.
Right. And I filled up there the other day. And, in fact, a day or two before I was by it, and I drove in, and they had plastic bags over every handle. I don't know if they'd sold out or what. I didn't stop and ask anybody, but I wondered why nobody was at the pumps. Well, that was why. And then a day or two later, I came through and filled up, and I have a BP card, so it takes 5 cents off. So I got gas for $3.049, and I thought that was probably about as good as I'm going to do, you know, these days anywhere, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, we aren't finding it above. Last week, their Channel 10 out of Columbus, I think they had one or two that still was $2.99 and below $3. But with there weren't many, especially when you consider all the gas stations there are in Columbus. And I think the predominant price around here right now is around $3.29.
Yeah, and you know the thing around Columbus is that the Sheetz stations are coming to Columbus. And, of course, a lot of people like to eat there. They have an interesting food concept that goes with those Sheetz stations. And each one of them has a PNC bank machine, which is one thing that takes me there now and then because I have accounts there. But it's just really fascinating that the coming of those Sheetz stations, I don't know if that'll drive the price down or not or just make more competition. So, anyway. Well, we'll leave it at that, and maybe somebody else has something to say at the last minute.
All right. Well, it is 10:52. We do need to get to a break here, but we will be able to take another phone call or two quick ones if you call right now at 740-622-1560.
Hi, Bob here from Plus One Pizza asking, when was the last time you had a really great pizza? Our new pizza is better than ever. Order one tonight online or call 622-9300. At Plus One Pizza, you'll love it, we guarantee it, or your money back. It's that good.
These businesses will be observing these holiday hours. Frontier Supply is open from 7:30 a.m. until 4 p.m. today. Closed tomorrow. Open. Let me start over. That was earlier this week. Frontier Supply is open from 7:30 a.m. until 2 p.m. today. They are closed tomorrow. Lenny's Barbershop is open 9 to 5 today and open 9 till noon tomorrow. Coshocton Break and Supply is closed today and tomorrow. Coshocton Recycling is closed today and tomorrow. Good Boy Bakery is open today from 10 to 5. They'll be open tomorrow from 10 to 5 as well. M2 Drive-Thru is open from 9 a.m. to 11:30 p.m. today. 9 a.m. to 11:30 tomorrow. Extreme Rental Purchase is open from 10 a.m. till 6 p.m. today, 9 to 5 tomorrow. And Village Mobile Gas and Convenience Store is open 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. The Garden Patch is open 10 to 5 today, 10 to 4 tomorrow. Mercantile on Main is open from 9:30 a.m. until 5 p.m. today, 9 to 3 tomorrow. Bueller's Food Market is open 6 a.m. till 10 p.m. today, 6 to 10 tomorrow. Phase 3 Barbershop is open 8:30 a.m. until 5:30 p.m. today and closed tomorrow. Buckeye Beverage Barn and their pizza shop is, Buckeye Beverage Barn is open from 10 to 10 today and tomorrow. And the pizza shop is open from 3 p.m. till 9 p.m. today and tomorrow. Let's see. A few more here. Carl's Meat and Food Market is closed today and tomorrow. Sailor Wealth Strategy closed today and tomorrow. Sprint Print also closed today and tomorrow. The Garden Patch is open today from 10 to 5. They'll be open tomorrow from 10 to 4. Huebner's Auto Care is open from 8 a.m. until 5 p.m. today. Closed tomorrow. Otsego Carryout is open from 5:30 a.m. until 10 p.m. today. 7 a.m. till 10 p.m. tomorrow. The Frame Shop is closed today, and they'll be open tomorrow from 10 a.m. until 2 p.m. For winning Ohio Lottery numbers 24 hours a day, call the B-Dry Lottery Line at 622-CALL. That's 622-2255. Let B-Dry transform your damp basement into useful living space.
Looking for a good read or a gift? Check out the new book, Frontier History of Coshocton. The book describes the Coshocton's entire glorious history from the end of the last ice age until the end of the War of 1812 in 600 full-size pages with a quality sewn hardcover. Buy it now for $39.99 at the Johnson Hummerkaus Museum and Amazon.com. Sale proceeds are donated to the museum.
It's bacon extravaganza at Papa John's Pizza. The triple bacon pizza is topped with smoky crumbled bacon, julienne cut Canadian bacon, and real smoked bacon slices. It's a bacon lover's dream. Get a large bacon pizza for $13. Order online at pjz.com or call 740-623-8483.
Redefine what's possible at Central Ohio Technical College, now offering more flexible class formats. Whether you're ready to fast track from just a job to a career, get that promotion, or start a bachelor's degree, COTC is the smart choice to reach your goals quickly. Our on-campus, virtual, or hybrid formats fit your lifestyle. And with small class sizes, personal attention, and free tutoring, you'll be on your path to what's next. Learn how COTC can get you there at go.cotc.edu/ycotc.
My son is not some statistic.
My daughter's not a headline.
My girl, she's not someone's agenda.
What
she is.
Is irreplaceable.
COVID hospitalizations of young people have tripled since the start of summer.
So I talked to my daughter's doctor about COVID vaccines.
And she said they're highly effective in preventing hospitalizations.
And deaths, even from the Delta variant.
We can do this. Find vaccines near you at vaccines.gov. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Black Friday is finally here, and Rural King has deals that can't be beat, like 20% off all boots, or a 4-foot LED shop light, just $14.99. Or how about a 14-foot trampoline for $199.99? Or 20-pound bags of gourmet grill pellets, just $4.99 each. Black Friday deals only last Wednesday through Saturday, so shop 4 days of unbeatable deals at RuralKing.com or your neighborhood Rural King, America's farm and home store.
Okay, forest animals, today is a new day. Kids are coming to the forest, and it's up to us to make their visit a good one. Sparrow.
Yes?
Have you practiced the most popular bird songs for the year?
Of course.
Catchy. I like it. Okay, river.
Dude.
How's the temperature?
It's a refreshing 52 degrees, man. Perfect for a little riverside shoeless relaxation.
Ah, good. Owl, you here?
Of course.
Who's asking? I am. Look, you know the drill. Sleep during the day, scare the kids at night.
Perfect. I love my job.
Oak tree?
Sup?
Still in the same place I left you last year. That's what I like. Consistency.
Well, it's not like I'm going anywhere for the next couple hundred years.
I know. I love it. Turtle. Turtle.
He's not here yet, man.
He's late every morning. You'd think he would have learned by now to leave the night before our meetings. Okay. Squirrel. Has anybody seen Mr. Squirrel?
The forest has been preparing just for you. Visit a forest near you today. To learn more about cool things to do in the forest, visit discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
All right, crew. Let's get her dug.
Honey, you want to give me a hand? I'm planting that tree, remember?
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. You must call 811 at least 2 to 3 business days before any digging project, so you can avoid hitting our essential buried utilities. This includes natural gas and petroleum pipelines, electric, communication cables, and water and sewer lines. So before you do this, or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811. Brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
This is Haley from Haley's Floral Studio. Join us on Saturday, December 4th from 9 to 3 for our Christmas open house. Come and go anytime from 9 to 3 for our make and take fresh pine wreath workshop. We are a shop hop destination, so bring the kids for pictures with Santa from BKH Events and cookie decorating. We will have designers on site to help you create your masterpiece. And we will also offer 10% off store-wide with some exclusions. Call ahead to reserve your wreath, 740-295-9100.
Mostly cloudy early today, then a chance of flurries. Cooled with near steady temperatures in the lower 30s today. It is currently 31 in Coshocton. This is WTNS-FM, Coshocton, Ohio. It's 11 o'clock.
Listen to the WTNS communication lines Monday through Friday from 9 until 11 a.m. on WTNS-FM 99.3 or online at mywtnsradio.com.